This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
On today's show, we have Dr. Kevin Preston. Drawing from his experience in effective clinical practice since 2009, fusing traditional Chinese medicine, quantum physics, and biological medicine, Dr. Preston has worked together with thousands of patients to help heal the root cause of their symptoms. He's become known for unconventional ideas on health and medicine and resolving complex chronic illness, mystery syndromes, and more. Employing his expertise in pattern recognition of behaviors, thoughts, and physical body expression, Dr. Preston works with patients to uncover the hidden or unseen elements of life that are holding them back. This data can be used to guide individuals toward their fullest and most authentic expression with clarity, focus, and vitality. Dr. Preston works privately with high-impact leaders, groups, and entrepreneurs to illuminate key areas of their lives that need to shift alongside their health and businesses. He is passionate about igniting the fire within everyone he works with through online group programs, public speaking, hosting large in-person events, and leading powerful adventure retreats. You are in for a treat, folks. Welcome back, everybody. I know you're so excited for another edition of When Spirit Calls, and we are back. And I am extra, extra excited about our guest today. I had the privilege of meeting this beautiful human, Dr. Kevin Preston, just a couple weeks ago in person. And, you know, we just actually finished a conversation talking about how, you know, we can be catalysts for each other without even realizing it, and what we activate in one another. Sometimes we don't even know what we've done, the ripple impact that we have. So welcome, Dr. Kevin.
Thank you. Thanks for your excitement. I'm excited to be here too. And it's like we can just, you know, carry on from the last conversation, because I had you on my podcast, and, you know, thanks for being a guest there too, and excited for more.
Me too. You know, one of the things that, you know, comes up for me quite often in doing these podcasts is this incredible ability that we have to bond and to connect through story. And I often will tell people storytelling is a form of medicine, not just for the receiver, but for the deliverer. And so I'd like to invoke some of your medicine today and have you share a bit about your story and when spirit called you, because I know that you listen to the voice, to the call, and that takes a great deal of courage, as we know. But I'd love to hear kind of what was it that started that shift for you? Or were you just always this incredible?
Right, I'm going to get red-faced here. I've been asked a number of times over the years, just from an intuitive standpoint, because I've been a Chinese medicine practitioner for 16 plus years now. And in a lot of those visits over time, and I'm sure you found this in a lot of your work with people too, that when you spend time focused on something, you do start to develop more skill sets there, and you lay down new neural networks in your brain and your intuition, and you suddenly start to be able to tap into more information in a bigger field of energy. And so when people have asked me that, like, have you always been this way? And sometimes I ask, like, what do you mean? Which way? Like, is this a good question? Not a good question. But yeah, I would say years ago, I would say, no, I haven't been. This is something that's, you know, unfolded later on. And maybe I'm a bit of a late bloomer. But then I've had other realizations where I think back to earlier phases of life and like, oh, wait a minute. There was insights, there was some of the catalysts early on. And so I was really drawn to nature, and I spent a lot of time in the forest. I had, you know, four of us as siblings. And so we're outside playing together all the time, and, you know, the river and the creek and collecting rocks and building forts and things. I also have a lot of memories of spending time alone in the forest. And now that I know a lot more about myself, I was naturally doing that because I needed it, because I would be feeling like so much energy and emotion, and I would need to discharge that and offload that and integrate it in some way. And so it's interesting how the nature of each of us organically may pull us into the environments and the spaces that we need, that we don't even consciously know we need. Yeah. And So, you know, there's different memories that come up, but I vividly remember, I think I was 16 and I was playing fairly high level hockey and, you know, growing up in Alberta and you drive all over the place, all over the province and in the winter and in the snow and the cold. And I know you know that really well. And I had my driver's license, so I started driving myself to my games and practices quite a bit. And, you know, my parents would still drive me at times, but I was heading out and I think there was a decent blizzard going on and that never fazed me. I was fine driving in the snow and the colds and I felt good about it. And there was many times I had driven in much worse conditions, but something was different about that particular evening. I still can't even tell you what it was, but I got in my truck, I had my gear and I loved hockey. Like I lived for it and I wanted to go. And I started driving down the driveway and I started to get an uneasy feeling. And I got to the end of the driveway before I pulled out on the road. And there was this aspect of, nope, I'm not going. And I sat there and idled for 4 or 5 minutes, kind of battling with this, but I want to go. This is hockey. Like, this is something I love and I'm important to be there in the team. And I think I might have been captain on the team at that time. And kind of this inward pull. And I'm looking at the snow and I'm thinking, the conditions are not bad. Like, I've driven in way worse. You know how the mind tries to justify. And ultimately, I ended up putting the gear shift in reverse and I backed down the driveway and I parked and I went back in, took my gear, and my parents said, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, aren't you going to hockey? And I said, no, I'm not going. And I don't remember much conversation after that. I think I just went downstairs to my room and just hung out. And I'll never really know why I didn't go, but I know I wasn't supposed to. And I think that was one of the earlier memories that I like consciously remember hearing that, feeling that, being a bit confused by it, but I trusted that. And then, you know, ever after that, there were other experiences that I started to learn how to cultivate that trust. And of course, there was many moments I felt a call, didn't listen to it, got a sweet lesson or a challenging one. And, you know, brings us back to ourselves of, oh, right, we do have information and knowledge that maybe is not always consciously forms that comes from the field of energy around us or from spirit, however, you know, somebody thinks about that. But I've had a lot of moments like that. And it is some cases where I don't go do something. And then there's lots of cases where I get the call to do something.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing my best to listen to that.
I really love this story because the fact that you were 16 and you were able to listen to that, I think is huge, you know, and I think about different times in my life too, in my childhood, in my teens as well, where it's like, I felt something, but it didn't make sense up here. You know, in my head, it's like, well, no, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I not do the thing? And then I would do the thing. And then you're right, there would be some sort of consequence to that, you know, experience. So, you know, I think that a lot of people would love to listen more, but struggle to do that. And so as you kind of got into your 20s, you know, what were some of the things that you were doing then that allowed you to listen into that? Like, I would assume that, you know, you were called to go into traditional Chinese medicine and you felt that pull. But I'm curious to know kind of like what else led you into that pathway.
I think when I look back at the lens, you know, from current day, it was trusting those little, you know, people talk about it, the little breadcrumbs or the omens. And, you know, The Alchemist is one of my favorite books. And it's like, trust the, of course, it's such a good book. Trust the omens. And I could also see back then, I wasn't necessarily aware in the way that I am now, but I was still trusting those breadcrumbs or the feeling that I would get. I'm a big feeling person. And then experiences and how life kind of guides us, because Chinese medicine was not something that was on my radar early in life at all. And I ended up having treatment with acupuncture at a clinic I was working at as a student, because I thought about going into different forms of medicine, sports medicine, physio. You know, I played hockey, I played college hockey, I played junior hockey, I had a lot of injuries. So I was around great practitioners a lot of the time, getting stitches or rehabilitating some injury, and ended up having knee surgery at 15 and again at 20, and, you know, all kind of hockey related. And I think it was through a lot of treatment and experiences of having injuries, of cultivating a deeper connection with my body. And I ultimately believe now it was sort of the disconnect and destiny that was leading to some of those injuries that I could kind of put together more later on, looking back of, oh, no wonder that happened. Mm-hmm. And it also was illuminating my path and led me to get acupuncture treatment. I remember getting acupuncture and it worked really well. And I was confused by that. I didn't really know a lot about it, but I felt the results. I saw the results. It was so tangible. And I think maybe the curiosity, I have a curious mind and I love understanding things. I love learning and knowledge. And so I started reading books about Chinese medicine just to see. And it was one of those things that as things unfolded, I started to feel that curiosity grow and that pull more. And I remember reading a book and everything just kind of hit me, you know, is that moment, maybe spirit or otherwise. And it was talking about how conventional medicine views the body and how Chinese medicine views the body. And if you had, let's say, 10 patients that you were seeing that all had migraines, typically they would get the same medication or some version of that same medication for pain from a conventional viewpoint. Whereas in Chinese medicine, you would be asking all the different questions about their life, about the rest of their body, their symptoms, the history, injuries, concussions, maybe other issues, anemia, and all of these other things, hydration, diet, and you would really get into what I view as like the full garden of life. And Chinese medicine views the body as a garden.
I love that.
You would always do individualized treatment. There's no way that you would treat each of these people the same, even though they have a similar presentation, because you want to find out why. So you might be treating a 300-pound linebacker who's had 10 concussions. The treatment you'd administer to somebody with that kind of history would be very different than like a 85-year-old woman who's 95 pounds suffering with like anemia or poor diet or all those different things. It'd be a completely different reason for the presentation. And that's what we get into in Chinese medicine. And I think like that really... it really made sense to me. Like it landed in my body of, it just seemed so practical. Like, of course you would try and find the reason underneath the symptom. The symptom is just information. And that sparked something in me deeper to eventually, I definitely remember feeling that leap of, I'm going to shift direction from kind of a conventional medicine direction to Chinese medicine without really knowing a lot about it. I didn't actually really know the depth of what I was getting into, but I did it. And I thought, well, let's try and then just see. And
wow.
Yeah, like 20 years later, I'm like, oh, that was a cool leap.
You know, I love these leaps because I've done so many of them in my life. And when I leap, I find such exhilaration, first of all, but I find that those leaps pay back in spades. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When I first started diving into the spiritual work, you know, I took the Akashic Records because I was a skeptic. I took it because I had been taught mainstream medicine. So I had a very logical, practical way of looking at things. I thought, there's no way people can do this stuff. There's no way. And I took it and I was like, what is this? You know, it opened up a whole new world. And I love that you were willing to just know the feeling you had when you were doing the bit of research you were and having that curiosity, that you like let that feeling guide you. Because I think that's, again, where a lot of us, we miss that. You know, we're going so fast all the time that we're missing the listening, right? You know, spirit's always calling. We're not always listening, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's so beautiful that that happened. I've got a question for you. Do you think that your injuries needed to happen for you to find this path?
Yes. 100%.
Thank you. And I want to kind of open this up a little bit because... recently, I've had some clients that have had some injuries or had some illness and are like, why is this happening? And they're so frustrated. And, you know, there's this reminder that often I invite them to lean into is like reminding them there's some potency in what you're experiencing, mm-hmm. that there's some medicine here in the experience. And I think about, I've had a few injuries myself, and I had actually a very serious bike accident in 2021, a cycling accident. And I remember having some precognition. I actually saw myself getting in an accident and I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm careful. I'm on, you know, not on the highway trails. I'm fine. And so this one particular morning, I'm rushing around and my house was in renovations. So I couldn't find my helmet. I thought, I'll just throw on a baseball cap. No big deal. I'm staying on like the bike, the paths, you know, it's not a big deal. And as I'm biking along this path, there's a fence. And a skid steer or a bobcat comes out blind onto the bike path from the fence. And so all of a sudden there's a bucket in front of me, a skid steer bucket right in front of me. And I am swerving to try and miss it, but I don't miss it. I hit the bucket. I get catapulted 10 feet onto the pavement.
Wow.
What's really cool about this story is that as I'm heading towards the pavement, the last thing I remember is actually seeing the pavement. And I thought, this is it. Like, I had that thought in my head. I'm like, this is it. And I've had many of those, as you know. I've had some near-death kind of experiences in my life. And somehow I rotated. So I broke my humerus, ha ha universe, very funny. And I bruised my kidney. I was black and blue, my whole left side. And obviously an ambulance came and I was transported to the hospital and I had blood in my urine. So they had to monitor the kidney, all the things. So it was quite serious, but I didn't have any major head concussion. And so what's fascinating is the guy that was driving the skid steer is like, I don't know how you turned. Like, how did you rotate? Because he saw me going head first into the pavement. And as I reflected back on that, I remember feeling like something was turning me. I can't even explain it. It's like an angel came and went, oh, I'm just going to rotate it just a little so you don't smash your head and you get your shoulder instead. But the point of the story is not any of that. The point of the story is I needed that experience. And I had been asking God for a break, quote unquote. I didn't mean literally, but I was going through a lot at that time. There's a lot of chaos. I was, you know, raising children as a single parent. I was doing renovations in my home. All these things, growing a business. And so I was in this like really fast track. And that accident changed my whole trajectory.
Yeah.
Because I took a step back and I said, what am I doing here? Like, I'm going so fast, I can't even hear. I can't hear the messages of divine. I think I am, but I'm not really. And so that break, that incident is what actually redirected me and moved me into also doing my degree in metaphysics, which opened up again a whole nother world for me. So all to that question, do you think the injuries, you know, were there for a reason? Absolutely. So it's a reminder for us that even on the surface, when we say, oh, that's a bad thing to happen, you know, whether it's an illness or an injury, you know, our perception is, oh my God, it's so bad. But what if we can shift our perspective of that and we can actually welcome that experience and say, okay, there's something in here for me. There's value in this. And it sounds to me like you figured that out a long time ago.
Well, I would like to think that I'm still learning all the time and like to show up with the student mind as much as I can of, well, let's see. Let's see what this next layer has. And certainly through challenges, I think this is the interesting thing about being human, right? Is that there's always an opportunity in everything. If we take a bigger view, we're looking at the long game and just seeing, even out of curiosity, why would something like this come up? And the amount of times I've heard stories like this from patients is really vast. And it is often when we need to slow down, there is something that will slow us down unless we're listening to the nudges ahead of time. And there's definitely things I've been through where I wasn't. And, you know, whether physical injuries or mental, emotional challenges and stresses and big life changes. And then after some time passes, you start to see the wisdom in why things showed up in the way that they do and seeing it as a redirect or an opportunity where needed. And also that we have to be quite specific with what we want to manifest, right? You needed a break.
Careful what you wish for, kids.
Yeah, like metaphorical or literal. And sometimes right. It's both. And so yeah. Listening to the whispers and listening to the nudges. But I think also there's a really key point here. And I've been sharing this with lots of people lately and myself. The reminder to slow down. And it doesn't mean not being productive. It doesn't mean not having an impact at all. And I think the Navy SEALs have this saying, like, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Yes. And I haven't really met many people, me included, that can really listen at the depth that's possible when we're going too fast. Like, it's kind of a requirement to get into stillness, to slow down, at least in some ways, so that all of this information, intuition, guidance can actually catch up with us. If you're ahead of it 100 miles an hour, you can't catch up with that. And this is actually where I see a lot of gaps in the physicality in people's bodies these days, is they start having symptoms, they have autoimmune conditions, they have all kinds of different things going on. And usually that tells me, oh, there's a gap somewhere. I wonder where that's coming from. Gaps in their relationships, in their mission, in their career, often in their relationship with themselves. They're not slowing down or listening to like what is really inside here. What am I needing? What support might be needed? What direction? And so, yeah, we got to like just park ourselves for a moment and just, you know, take a breath and then see what is there.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? You know, I had a coach named Chris and she would say, you got to slow down to move ahead, you know? And I was always this like, ooh, going, you know? And even still, like, I still have this energy that's like, I get a little excited. Obviously, I'm very passionate, a little animated. But in this process of allowing myself to slow down, what happens for me, and I'm sure for you too, is that I make better decisions, more aligned decisions. So me going fast and trying to get all these things done, I was doing things that I didn't need to be doing. You know what I mean? I was like leaking energy. And so the slowdown allows us to hear the call more deeply, make better, more aligned decisions, which actually will expedite our growth and expedite, you know, whatever that experience is for us. So I'm with you. Slow down to move ahead.
Yes.
So here's what I'd like to kind of dive into, because I just finished talking to you about this before this call. You've got a really cool event coming up and we'll talk about it a bit at the end, but I just kind of want to plant the seed with it because you've been running this event, New Human, for several years now. And I'm curious to know the story for that particular event, because I feel the energy of the event, this event, in a way that I've never felt an event before. And maybe that's a testament to you. Maybe there's a much grander, you know, aspect at hand. But I'm curious to know what led you to that. I used to put on big events. I had Aim Higher, Be Lifted, Feel Good Fest, Awaken. And I'd do these conferences and these trade shows. And it's a huge amount of work, as you know. Massive, massive undertaking. And so I'm curious to know what that call was for you. And what led you to that? Like, I'm feeling like you got a download and someone said, you will create an event called New Human.
That's not that far off, I guess. But, you know, if we want to look at the logical side for the first part, perhaps, you know, working in the clinic for years and years, lots of experiences one-on-one, I had always had a dream of doing retreats. And I started doing retreats back in 2019. And I probably led, I don't know, like 30 retreats, something like that to date outside of like the bigger events. And so I've done events in like Tofino, cosmic surfing in Tofino is what it was called. I've done a few of those and retreat in Banff and, you know, these cool places and out in Caslow in the Kootenays here. We did a bunch of them with a dear friend of mine and it was called Collective Hearts. And we did 9 of those. And so, you know, all these different layers would come up and eventually I finally got started, even though it was a dream and it had been a dream for over a decade. I felt like it needed the time that it did to cultivate the skills, the qualities within me, the embodiment within me to actually lead something from a grounded place and from a more clear place. And then, you know, we always get to learn. So anybody out there hearing this, you don't have to heal all of your baggage, all of your stuff to start doing something meaningful. And it'll be through the process of actually teaching, learning, guiding, or, you know, following your heart in that way, that'll bring you even more. So I learned by doing. And so I started doing that. And then I started having this vision of doing a one-day event years ago. And part of the intention that I was feeling was, oh, I want it to be accessible for people. I want people that are maybe new to this line of work or new to intuition, spirituality, energy, Chinese medicine, all of those things, metaphysics, that they could have a very low investment in both time and money and something local here. I wanted to do something here for the community and so many amazing people that have been so supportive to me and my practice and all the dreams and visions that I have. And so we did that. And it was a one-day event. And I remember the night before standing on the little stage that we had rented. It was kind of an outdoor like pole barn, beautiful venue. It worked out really, really well. And we had maybe just over 100 people there. And I could feel it the night before of, oh, I'm scared. I'm feeling intimidated. I'm looking at all the chairs set up with nobody in them. And there was definitely part of me that thought, whose idea was this? This is not what we're doing. How did we end up here? And then thinking, I can't cancel now. There's 100 people coming tomorrow morning. And it was like 9 at night. And I just had to kind of sit with that discomfort of doing something new, something I hadn't done before, not in that way. A lot of the other retreats were like 2-3 day retreats, 5 days, but with like six, eight people, 10, 15 people, maybe 18 people max. So going to 100 plus different moving parts, it was a leap. And so we did it and it went well. And I just thought, well, let's test it out and see if I even like it. Maybe this is going to be something that I don't want to keep doing, but it opened something more. And so I did another one a few months later. And again, we had, I don't know, 120 people or something. And then the bigger vision of what about a 2-day event, you know, or what about 3 days? Like, what would that be like? And I started seeing and feeling the people that I actually wanted to invite to come and speak, where it wouldn't just be me. And I had visions for some of the speakers that now I either have worked with or were about to work with at this one coming up in the fall here. And it's really interesting that I got shown those people. I got shown the vision. Yeah. And I didn't know how it was going to come along, but I didn't have a name for it yet. And that is the part that dropped in over time of, oh, if I'm doing this event, we're going to have to name it something. And at that point, I was thinking it would just be a one-off event, you know, a couple of days, let's see what happens. And likely I was walking in nature. I think that's the memory that drops in, because that's usually where things drop in for me, just by myself. Yeah. And the new human was what landed in. And to be honest, I didn't really love that name. I had some, I love it now.
A little resistance.
But there was some resistance to that. I'm like, I don't know. That is that the one? And I had to sit with it for a couple weeks and it didn't go away. And it actually dropped in more and more and more. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna have to surrender to that. I guess that's what we're gonna call it. And so we did. And so yeah, this fall we've got the fourth version of the new human coming up. And you know, I don't even know where some of these ideas drop in from, but sometimes when they do, because there's lots of ideas I don't take action on, but this one I could feel, oh, I need to, without understanding all the pieces of logistics. And I guess we'll see. And I'm going to learn by doing that. Why don't we try? And then let's see, because I could feel the depth and the resonance that wanted to come through for it. And it's been quite a journey so far. Yeah,
I bet you grow a lot in the process yourself. I know I did. Every time I would put on an event, it would be like, okay, here I go, because I knew I was going to have some sort of evolutionary experience in the process. Thank you for sharing that. And we'll circle back to that at the end. But I would love, I know that you have so much wisdom and you could give us like a million beautiful tools and pearls of wisdom, but I would love to hear from you. What are three of the biggest things that you wish you would have known when you were younger, or that you feel like is a main problem that your clients have to overcome? And what is it that you share with them to help them in this so-called journey of life? So I'd love to just hear that from you.
Well, let's see. Let's see what wants to come through.
Yeah, I love it.
I think the notion that our greatest woundings are our greatest blessings, actually. And even in our vocation and our journey here, and you know, there's lots of teachings that support this too, but I didn't know it for myself. And I think that's been a big learning over many, many years of, oh yeah, the pain points, the places of struggle are often hiding and will reveal your greatest talents and gifting if you are willing to face into that. And so I think the second part of that, I was quite a fearful person. And I did not have a lot of confidence. And there's people that I've met and lots of people in my life now that don't know that version of me, because maybe I've only met them in the last 5 or 10 years. And they're like, oh, it must be easy, or you're just kind of like this. And I chuckle and think, no, I am not just like this. The journey from who I was in the past and who I am now, and you know where I'm going in the future, has been challenging, varied. And I think about this with other, you know, guides or leaders or anybody that wants to, you know, teach and feels that calling in their life, that you will face difficulties, you will face things, but you got to see the blessing in that. And that is actually there to cultivate something in somebody within you that is more strong, capable, grounded, integrated than whoever the previous versions are. So you said it, like the challenges and the difficulties that I've gone through since beginning the new human events have been quite vast, actually. I don't want to sugarcoat that. There's been some big difficulties. I've lost friends. I've had big challenges with, you know, even staff at times, or challenges with me. Huge amount of self-doubt at times, and that fear would come back. And so I would say fear can be your friend if you learn how to sit with it and to not get rid of it right away. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, are taught that we, you know, can bypass and just stuff down or medicate or numb ourselves to. But some of the fears, some of my biggest fears that I've had in this life so far, they have happened. You know, I went through different experiences in the past that, oh, I'm like, oh, these are the things I was the most scared of. And then I was in it.
And
yeah, like, and what I realized through going through that was I needed some of that stuff. You know, I needed that to cultivate more of a spine, more of a backbone, more courage to be able to stand in the fire of life sometimes, to be able to actually burn away all of those things that didn't serve me anymore and programming, things that were limiting in my own belief structure, like things that were within me. And so I think a big key is the thing that you're most afraid of right now is holding the greatest amount of medicine in your life. Ooh. And when we can turn and sit with that and face that, and, you know, big fan of Gene Keys and Richard Rudd, it's like invite your fear in for tea and sit with it.
Ooh, I love that.
And let's see what it has to say. And what I realized was a lot of my fears were much greater in my mind than what they were in reality, even though some of them were really hard, actual life challenges. But it was actually moving through that one layer at a time, waking up day after day and just chewing it one bite at a time, that eventually you get through and you come to a new part of you. And then you find these activations or you find that next level of medicine. And there's no way I'd be able to lead and guide what I'm doing now without all of those challenges. It's like the quintessential hero's journey, but in real life. You need the adversary, you need the challenge, you need the dark night of the soul. You really need these things. And so I'm at this point in my life now where I am sitting with, do I need those things now to cultivate more growth and expansion? Or can I do a better job listening and move with more grace, more ease, and more flow? And when a challenge does come up, invite the fear in for tea and see what it has for you.
Oh, I love that concept. And I'm gonna say this again. The thing you fear the most is the source of your greatest medicine. Because I think that was such a powerful quote that you just shared there. Beautiful. I think that's really going to resonate for a lot of people that are listening today. I'm sure there's something that they are sitting with in terms of fear, right, everybody? So, oh, what a beautiful invitation for all of us. Thank you. Anything else that's coming to mind before we kind of come into kind of our final few minutes here?
I think I might just repeat earlier of stillness is highly underrated. You know, getting quiet, taking a pause. And I just think sometimes we need to hear that, like, you're allowed to pause.
Yeah.
You're allowed to pause in real time in challenging conversations. Most of us were not taught that. If you're in a heated argument, a heated issue with somebody in real time, you can take a breath and say, I'm actually just going to pause for a moment. I'm feeling a lot. This is really intense. Can you actually give me a minute? Or let's both just take a minute and breathe for a second and then we'll keep going. Or maybe you need a longer pause. Like, give yourself the permission for that. And then in those micro moments of life, take a pause. But in the big picture, how many times do we actually stop, breathe, and take an inventory of our life? And there's these aspects in different spiritual teachings too that, and I believe this is probably true, that at the end of your life, whenever that might be, you are shown your full potential and you are shown the gap, as big or as small as it is, of what you lived, of your full capacity and what actually happened in your life. And that we don't need to wait till that moment to see that, because if there's a big gap, that could be possibly really painful. And so again, I'm not saying this from a fear place. I'm saying it to be empowered. Maybe check in once a week, once a month. How am I? How do I feel? Where am I at? And again, not from fear, scarcity, but empowered steps of, if I'm not where I want to be, what are the things, the people, the places, the steps that I can start taking even a little bit? Yeah. To start closing that gap on the full potential that we all have. We have a dynamic, amazing, illuminated blueprint with inside of us. Sometimes it just needs to be let out a little bit, and you know, for that shining light to start to open up a bit more. And that's what we're going to do at the new human event.
I love this. And I love that you gave us all permission to be still. Oh, it's so good, Kevin. It's always such a privilege to be in your presence and to hear your wisdom. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. So that being said, you know, we want to invite our audience to check out the new human event if they haven't already. So do you want to just say a few tidbits about that and what else you might have available? Because it's not just the new human event. Obviously, you still work as a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. And so is there anything else that we should know about you if we're feeling a resonance and we're hearing this and we're like, oh, my God, this Dr. Preston is amazing. What do we do then?
I think, yeah, follow me on socials if you feel the call. That's usually where we'll be sharing lots of things that we have upcoming. So certainly the new human this year, the theme is interstellar. And the theme is, well, even the definition of interstellar is the space in between stars. And so I think a lot of us have these beautiful cosmic origins and earthly elements. And what we're aiming to do is create a bridge between heaven and earth, but in an embodied human way that we get to be messy, we get to have fun, we get to experience joy and challenge and everything else. But if we do that together, authentically, in person, that's the vessel of energy that we've been building and all the preparation. I've been working on this event for over a year now. And so there's lots of layers to build a safe container to be present in so that all the work is almost done. And then we just need to step in and show up to it and allow those things to happen and get out of our own way. And so we curate and guide different experiences to really help people direct themselves back to them. You know, it's to invoke that medicine in each of us. It's not about me. It's not about even the other speakers. And I'm also really excited Dr. Zach Bush is coming back again. He was there last year.
I'm a huge fan. I'm super excited about that. Yeah.
He's so amazing to work with. So he's coming back. We've got a beautiful Qigong and meditation type teacher, Stephanie Nosco. She's on the island in BC here, and many more layers and depth to her as well. We've got an amazing, soulful, intuitive, etheric singer, Maylan Moritz. Amazing, powerful voice, very angelic. And her colleague Ali Pervez is coming. He's an amazing masculine embodiment of also that counterpart of voice and sounds. And my dear friend Andrea is going to be emceeing. I'll be on stage as well. And then we have our friends from the indigenous community here that we've been collaborating with. My friends Laureen and Edna are going to be back. And, you know, we weave all these places together, both energetically, but in person, and, you know, very, very intentionally. And I think that builds something that's unique and different that you were speaking to earlier, that you can feel something different with this. And then I am going to be leading other retreats and events next year as well, like those smaller deep dive ones. So this past year so far, we did a retreat in Iceland with a small group of people.
I saw that and I was so jealous. I was like, oh, next time.
Well, so I might do another one. These are things I'm sitting with. I might do another one in Iceland next year. I'm also looking at, maybe I won't share this one just yet, but it'll be possibly Portugal or off the coast of Portugal. Just, you know, feeling into some of these energetics. That'd be probably springtime, like April. And also just listening to the call and getting quiet and still of where else do I need to be? And who are the people that I need to be there with, and different places on the planet are calling to me as well. And then, yeah, I still am working in the clinic, and that shifts and changes all the time. But I have some courses coming out that I'm really excited about, of how to reach more people that then they don't need to see me in the clinic directly. And, you know, gratefully, I've got a giant wait list. And, you know, one of those things is that so many things are changing on the planet and health and medicine these days. And I've been listening very deeply the last few years of, how can I be of the greatest level of service? And so, you know, you'll probably find me speaking on other stages, even outside of my own event too. And so, yeah, Dr. Kevin Preston on Instagram is probably one of the best places, and Facebook as well. And we've got two websites, drkevinpreston.com for more of the clinical side. And then we've got newhumanevents.com. And so if you're feeling the call, we've still got some space for October 3rd to 5th. We're going to be in a giant tent on a flower farm outside of Armstrong here in BC. And yeah, there's a lot of energy in the flow for what we're going to be doing there, and it'll be transformational. I can promise you that.
Absolutely, it will be. So, folks, we're going to have all those links in the show notes for all of you just below this podcast. So Dr. Kevin Preston, it's always such a joy. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us today and to share your beautiful wisdom. Any final words of any quotes, any final messages coming through as we wrap things up today?
Well, I'm grateful for this time and space because it also allows me to drop in with you and slow down and just flow and have that feeling of there's nowhere else that I need to be except in the present moments. And maybe the last thing, I was in a men's retreat with my friend Emily in 2018 in Sedona. And, you know, Sedona is powerful and beautiful in lots of ways, but there's a quote on the wall in that building. And I've shared this many times, but it's coming up. So I'm trusting that. It said, follow your heart's highest excitement. And it really landed in my system and landed in my bones. And so I've been doing my best since then to live that way and to only really create and involve myself in things that I feel that really deep heart's excitement. And then I know I'm on the right path and my heart smiles and, you know, I get to keep going. So thanks for creating this space to connect. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Well, it's been great. Thank you again so much. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, take care.
So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca, and when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.